May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is taken from Matthew 21, verses 23 to 32. I often come across a cartoon of a church on social media, and the cartoon shows multiple people on the inside of a church acting as a barricade at the door. Why, you might be thinking? Well, it's because Jesus is trying to get in on the other side. Perhaps look at your own door or imagine the door of St Thomas's Church, and each and every one of us acting as a barricade. It would be pretty impossible to get in, wouldn't it? This is pretty much what was going on in the temple 2,000 years ago. Why? Because letting Jesus in, who was the unexpected Messiah, threatened to turn upside down all that the elders and chief priests had made God and the temple about. Today our reading from Matthew's Gospel compares the chief priests and the elders to prostitutes and tax collectors. Take that in for a second. Priests being compared to prostitutes. What was going on? Well, at the beginning of chapter 21, Jesus had made the triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. He entered the temple courts and he drove out all who were buying and selling there, saying, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Imagine the scene. He is highly angry and frustrated. And the chief priests and the elders come to him and they say, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replies back to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." So he says to the chief priests and the elders, "John's baptism." Now we know that John was Jesus' cousin and the prophet that paved the way for him. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? Now Jesus has backed them into a corner here, for if they say from heaven, Jesus will ask them, well, why didn't they believe him? And if they say of human origin, they will fear the people that hold that John was a prophet. So the chief priests and the elders go for the cop-out and they say, "We don't know." You see, if the Jewish leaders truly understood what John had been doing, they would know where Jesus got the right to behave as Messiah in the temple courts, and their questions would be answered. But they didn't believe in John, and they don't believe in Jesus. So Jesus tells them a parable. He says there was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first and he said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," answered the son, but later he changed his mind and went. The father then goes to the other son and said the same thing. And the son answers, "I will go, sir," but he did not go. So Jesus asks the chief priests and the elders, which of the two sons did what his father wanted? And they respond, saying, "The first." Now, perhaps you're confused, but I'd encourage you to stay with me, and I will make it clear. John the Baptist had come calling the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And some people did. Some looked like rebels against God, while other people refused to do what John said, even though they looked like God's chosen ones. So as Jesus describes, like two sons, one said no to his father, but then did what had been asked, while the other said yes, but then didn't do it. And just in case they still don't get it, Jesus makes it abundantly clear. The first son, who rudely tells his father he doesn't feel like working today, but then does it after all, stands for the tax collectors and prostitutes. Their daily life seemed to be saying no to God, but when they heard John, they changed their minds and their lifestyle, they repented. Whereas the second son, who politely tells his father he will indeed go to work but then doesn't, stands for the temple hierarchy and other leaders. You see, they look as though they're doing God's will, worshipping in the temple and keeping up appearances, but they refuse to believe in John's message. Not only about repentance, but also about the Messiah, who was standing unknown in their midst. So here the Messiah stands before them and he calls them to account, and unsurprisingly they don't like it. And Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you, for John came to show you the way of righteousness and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So the challenge of this passage for us today is to ask ourselves, are we responding to Jesus? Are we allowing him to confront us at any point when we are acting more like the second son by saying yes to God, presenting a front that suggests that we are doing God's will, keeping up appearances when in fact we are barricading the door, keeping Jesus on the outside because we have lost our way. So what happened with the chief priests and the elders? What became their God, their idols? Well, I would say that it's the same thing that often becomes ours. Buildings. The temple had become an idol. It had become a God which they worshipped in its own right. And I don't know about you, but I've been to many churches in my time, and it is evident that people worship the building more than they worship God. Second of all, money. People were selling in the temple courts. The chief priests and the elders were rich. They had huge amounts of money, and they were exploiting the poor. And yet Jesus clearly says to us, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. Thirdly, they were taken by status and power. Status had gone to their heads. They had huge power and huge sway in the communities that they were in. And yet Jesus says to us clearly, take the form of a slave, making yourself nothing. We are to humble ourselves. We are to be obedient. We are not to allow status and power to go to our heads. Fourthly, they pleased themselves. And yet the Bible is clear that when we hear a cry from the needy, we need to do and turn and give that person what they need, not turn a blind eye. And for the religious leaders and the chief priests, it was all about the laws. And they lorded it over others. And yet in James 1, 26 to 27, it says clearly, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is a warning to us. I know that I often talk about religion and I don't always talk about it positively. First of all, I think we should agree what the definition of it is. Religion is the belief in and of worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. Now, I believe and trust in that definition, but I don't always see religion played out in the way that Jesus called us to live our lives. And so the reason that I don't talk about it positively is because so often people label themselves as religious, and yet the focus of their religion, if they were to examine their hearts, would not be Jesus. That cartoon that I mentioned at the beginning, it's humorous, isn't it? But also it's sadly true of so many places and places of worship and churches today. Why? I don't really know. And perhaps because of the threat that Jesus will turn upside down all that we've made God and church about. The problem with unhealthy religion, like the chief priests and the elders, is that it becomes our God. It's easy to form a religion where God is not needed, and it has the tendency to creep in on all of us. And I know when it's happening to me because I feel a sense of duty, of burden, shame and guilt. But at other times I might feel fooled into feeling superior, having a feeling of status, of power, of control. But the truth is, unhealthy religion makes God unobtainable because it forces and focuses us on things that are not of God. It's contagious, it spreads, it destroys. As I was preparing this week, I kept being drawn back to that scene in Mr. Bean. I don't know if you know it, but he's in a church and he is continuously falling asleep in the front row. The truth is, religion that's unhealthy causes us to lose our enthusiasm for the life-changing truth of the gospel, often meaning that contemplating our shopping lists becomes more exciting. Religion can suck the joy out of our life of faith, causing us to forget or perhaps never know that being a Christian means that we're covered by love and grace and hope and joy and freedom. The teachers of the law rejected John and Jesus, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes knew their need for God. And I would say that we should ask ourselves that today. Do we know our need for God? Someone said to me yesterday that they'd met lots of difficult people in churches over the years, a story I often hear. He was a wedding photographer. He'd been to many churches, and he said that it had totally put him off, but that spending time with me and hearing and seeing my enthusiasm for the church would make him consider coming back. Now, that doesn't leave me thinking, well, I'm great, and that's done in my own strength. Not at all. My enthusiasm is all because of God, because I've seen his power to transform, to change lives, to bring healing, to bring life. And I want my life to reflect him, to glorify him, to see his kingdom come in will be on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to ensure that I don't create other gods or let idols blur my vision and my path. Someone recently said on walking into St. Thomas's Church that they could immediately feel the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And I want to encourage us this morning that God is here, he is moving, he is ministering, he is inviting us to throw off the religion that binds us and take up his invitation to be filled with love and grace and hope and joy and freedom. So today, let us open wide the doors of our church and the doors of our hearts and let the King of Glory come in. Amen. And thanks for listening.